Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech counterintelligence says China is seeking to gain influence in the country. The government will need MPs to extend the current state of emergency, says Jan Hamáček. And The Painted Bird is in the running for European Film of the Year. The Chinese intelligence services have used the openness of the Czech Republic to advance Chinese investments in the country. According to the latest annual report from the country's counterintelligence service, BIS, which was released on Tuesday. The report for 2019 said Beijing was seeking to influence Czech public opinion and spread pro-Chinese propaganda. Russian intelligence agencies are also active in the Czech Republic, but Russia's aim is to destabilize its opponents, BIS said. It said curbing the activities of Russian spies was difficult in view of the relatively large size of the country's diplomatic mission in Prague. The BIS report said there was information that a Czech had died while fighting with Islamic State last year. If this is confirmed, the total number of such deaths since 2012 now stands at 5. The Czech government will need to ask the Chamber of Deputies to extend the current state of emergency. The head of the country's coronavirus task force, Interior Minister Jan Hamáček, said on Tuesday. The government declared a state of emergency in early October. When it ended after a month, MPs agreed to extend it until November 20th. Mr. Hamáček said the conditions under which current COVID-19 restrictions could be eased would be laid out in a chart prepared by the Minister of Health, Jan Blatný. The Minister of Industry and Trade, Karel Havlíček, has outlined four pillars he says will aid Czech exports during the current crisis. They are support for employment, loan guarantees, support for investment, and in the medium term, increased spending on research, development and innovation. Speaking on Tuesday, Mr. Havlíček said that these approaches would help Czech exports get through the present situation and even boost their position on international markets. Some Czech breeders say that they have already sold out of geese, the traditional dish on St. Martin's Day on November 11th. While many Czechs typically order geese at restaurants, they are closed at present, so many individuals are planning to prepare birds bought online in their own homes, Czech TV reported on Tuesday. St. Martin's wine is also consumed on November 11th, and producers are also hoping that home consumption compensates for lost sales in restaurants and bars. The Painted Bird by Czech director Václav Marhol is one of five works in the running for European Film 2020 in the annual European Film Awards. The hard-hitting World War II drama won 8 prizes at the National Czech Lion Awards earlier this year. Meanwhile, Agnieszka Holland is in the running for Best Director for Charlatan, the story of a controversial communist-era Czech healer. The European Film Awards will be presented on the 12th of December. And finally, a look at the weather. It should be overcast in the Czech Republic on Wednesday with an average daytime high of 7 degrees Celsius. The following days are expected to see similar weather with temperatures climbing to around 10 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news. Hello there, listener. This is Radio Prague International, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, the government hopes to shore up or even boost the country's exports. Czech customs officers are training dogs to sniff out COVID-19. And later, a 1,000-kilometre hiking trail that would take 40 days to complete has been opened here in the Czech Republic. All that's coming up in today's programme. Nearly half of total Czech economic output is dependent on exports. In view of this fact, the government is relying on a four-pronged strategy through which it aims to maintain and possibly even strengthen the country's international trade position, the Industry and Trade Minister said on Tuesday. Tom McEncrow reports.
The Czech Republic has seen several years of continued economic growth, but is now having to tackle the large-scale impact of the coronavirus pandemic. The export-oriented economy has already seen foreign trade decline substantially this year, However, in relative terms, this fall is smaller than originally feared. Industry and Trade Minister Karel Havlíček said at a special trade-focused briefing on Tuesday.
We're keeping the fall from exceeding 10%. That's one of the best rates in Europe. April and May were the critical months when the rate of year-on-year decline was close to 40%. However, June and September showed positive trends. In fact, September actually saw foreign trade grow by 2.2% in year-on-year terms.
The September growth was boosted in a large part by the automotive sector, which is less impacted than in most other EU states, according to Mr. Havlíček. However, the level of imports across all commodities fell in September. This, the ministry believes, is the result of a decrease in demand, which is likely to be mirrored in October and November statistics. The relatively low decrease of foreign trade is in part thanks to the Czech Republic's major economic dependency on Germany, according to the minister.
When we look at the situation territorially, we see how dependent the trade situation is on the level of impact the coronavirus has on each country. Germany, the target of one-third of all of our exports, saw a decline in trade of around 9%. Meanwhile, our trade with countries such as the UK, France and Spain, which had a significantly more severe coronavirus situation, fell by about 20%.
This territorial lens could provide an indication of how Czech foreign trade will be impacted in the coming months. In order to ensure Czech trade not only remains competitive, but also has the potential to grow further, the minister said four pillars of support were needed, namely employment support, loan guarantees, investment support, and ensuring science, research and innovation get sufficient funding. The government budget allocated to loan guarantees is still nowhere near exhausted, the minister said. Meanwhile, in terms of investment support, the government is preparing legislation that would enable companies to postpone their incentive obligations if they can prove these could not be met due to the effects of the pandemic. However, the minister said that not all self-employed will be able to rely on government support. The Czech Chamber of Commerce has highlighted this as vital, saying it would like further negotiations with the government on how the support measures will work in practice.
Now, the Czech Customs Administration is currently training six dogs to assist in detecting people infected with COVID-19. After the training, which should be completed by the end of the year, the dogs could be used at Prague Airport, as well as in seniors' homes around the country. Ruth Frankova has more.
The training of COVID-19 sniffer dogs is taking place at a new hall at Kněževec near Prague, in close proximity to Prague Airport. The dogs, a mix of Alsatians and crossbreeds, are of different ages and sizes, but they have all completed their basic training, explains Petr Miller, the head of the cynology department at the Customs Administration.
All of these dogs have already been trained to detect drugs, narcotics, tobacco, banknotes and firearms.
The hall in Kněževec is equipped with special containers with coronavirus samples. The purpose of the training is to teach the dogs to distinguish the smell of coronavirus molecules from other smells. It is also equipped with a special air ionizer used for disinfecting the equipment. Unlike during regular training, the dog handlers are dressed in protective suits and glasses. One of the people participating in the project is Lenka Dintarová, who works at the Václav Havel Airport with her 2-year-old dog Cassie, who has been trained to sniff out illegal wildlife.
I give her a new substance and I give her a reward if she recognizes it. I gradually teach her to lie down next to the sample containing the new substance. When I'm sure she's able to recognize it, I give her a false sample and I want her to ignore it.
If everything goes according to plan, the dogs could be deployed at Prague Airport in January. The Czech Customs Administration plans to train another two COVID-19 sniffer dogs in spring. Another independent team training dogs to sniff coronavirus has been established in the Czech Republic in April by cynologist Gustav Hotový from the organization Search and Rescue, who has been training rescue dogs. By late October, they proved the ability of dogs to detect coronavirus using both positive and negative samples provided by Prague's Bulovka Hospital. The team has already trained two dogs using this method. In the future, the testing could be undertaken by having people swipe themselves with a piece of tissue at home and place the textile in a sterile container, after which the object would be smelled by a dog. According to Mr. Hotový, the whole testing process could be done in a space of hours and up to 20,000 samples could be tested within one day. Attempts to use sniffer dogs as a screening method for COVID-19 have also been launched elsewhere in the world. Finland has already deployed COVID-19 sniffer dogs at its main international airport in Helsinki. According to the Finnish scientists, the dogs can identify the virus with nearly 100% accuracy.
A new long-distance hiking trail has recently been opened here in the Czech Republic. Cesta Českem, or Czechia Trail, leads along the country's northern borders, from the westernmost point to the so-called Trojmezí, a point at which the Czech, Polish and Slovak borders meet. It measures 1,000 kilometres and takes approximately 40 days to complete, its creators say. Ruth Frankova spoke to Martin Ubel, the person behind the project, and began by asking him what made him create the hiking trail in the first place.
There are many established hiking trails here, but something like this one with defined structure, GPS points, itinerary and website where you can find all the information needed. No, this was something which I felt that is missing here, and that's why we created it. And who is it intended for? That's a good question, because the motto of the hike is that everybody can hike it. So personally, I feel it is for two kinds of hikers. The ones who would like to start hiking, but they don't know how, and they are maybe a little bit afraid. And these ones who already have some experience, and maybe they are looking for something new, maybe for something challenging, or maybe they would like to see our country from a different perspective.
The trek, as I said, goes along the northern border of the Czech Republic, with mountains stretching along most of the way. Can you describe it to our listeners in greater detail?
As you mentioned before, this trek starts at the westernmost point of the Czech Republic and ends at the easternmost point of the Czech Republic. It measures approximately 1,000 kilometers and leads us through nine beautiful mountains. It is divided into 10 parts regarding these mountains, and you have a nice chance to visit many provincial and national parks in the Czech Republic. So that's why we decided to go on the northern border of the Czech Republic.
As you said, the trek leads mostly through mountain areas. How demanding is it?
As I mentioned before, of course it's demanding, because 1,000 kilometers is definitely some kind of distance. But I would say that it's not as demanding as you would expect. I would say that if you are in average physical condition and you have at least some experience, or at least you prepare yourself in advance, I would say that everybody really can do it. And as I see the feedback, people who are asking about this trek, they are from various ages. They want to go with dogs or family with children. So I think that it's really for everybody.
It says on your website that the trek can be completed within 40 days. Did you yourself walk the whole trek? And if so, how long did it take you?
40 days is some kind of expectation where we count that average hiker should be able to walk about 25 kilometers in a day. And in these conditions, it's not very challenging. But I can imagine that there will be faster hikers, but slower too. It isn't any competition, it's up to everybody. And about us, yes, we walked the whole track because we had to prepare it, we had to measure everything, we had to describe everything. But because of that, it wasn't just a walk, but we needed to spend more time on the trail. So we didn't make it all together, like from one point to last point, but we had to split it. But that means that it's a great chance for somebody to be the first one.
So which part of the trek was your favorite?
It's a very difficult question because each mountain has different atmosphere and they are special because of something. So I would recommend to the hikers to hike all the trek and then decide which one is their favorite, because there are some mountains which are like hidden gems of this trail. On the other hand, you have Krkonoše, which everybody knows. It really depends and it's up to everybody.
Still, you are an experienced hiker. I guess you have known most of these mountains before. Was there something that you really discovered only when creating this trail?
Yes, definitely. I was surprised by some mountains which I hadn't visited before, because I'm from the western part of the Czech Republic. For example, the eastern mountains I haven't visited many times. And even if they are not well known, they are very beautiful, and I was surprised that even the Czech Republic is such a small country and in the middle of the Europe, that you can still find there many remote areas and completely abandoned areas, and they are beautiful.
Can you be more specific? Which mountains are you actually talking about?
Usually these ones who are really difficult to be reached by car, like westernmost point and western part of Krušné hory, it's almost abandoned. Lužické hory are very beautiful and there are not so many tourists. Bromovská vrchovina and even Rychlapské hory, which are on the borders with Poland, they're completely empty.
Are there actually places to stay along the trail, such as camping sites and places to eat, or do people have to carry things with them?
Yes, it's one of the biggest advantages of this project, that each part of this hike or this trail has its own itinerary, which can be downloaded on our website, cestacheskem.cz. And here you can find all the necessary info for you to be able to organize your trip like you want to. So where you can sleep, restaurants, emergency shelters, water sources, even with links to these organizations. So it's only up to everybody how they want to manage their trek. If they want to carry the tent, if they want to visit the restaurants, if they want to cook on their own. And they have all the information needed on the website, which can be downloaded for free. And for us, sometimes we slept in the tent, sometimes we slept without the tent, and it really depended on the weather.
What, according to you, is the best time of year to set on the trail?
That's a good question. I would say that if you start late April, I think it would be fine. Definitely, if you start in May, it should be fine. And on the other hand, I think that if you are able to manage your hike before the end of the September, you should be fine too. But the truth is that there are some hikers even now hiking the trail. So even in November, it's possible to hike it.
You said that there are hikers hiking the trail at the moment.
Yes.
What kind of feedback have you received so far? Do you have any idea how many people actually completed the trail since you created it?
Nobody, or I'm sure that nobody, because I created like really like 4 weeks ago. It went public, so it's not possible to make it so fast. But there are people now. There are people who started, for example, one part of the hike, so they walked like 4 days, 5 days, and then they stopped, and they will continue maybe next year, maybe next weekend, which is also possible. And actually, we are really surprised how huge and positive feedback does it have.
I know that you would like the trek to become part of a network of Europe's long-distance treks. What are the requirements for that to happen?
This is a little bit tricky because that is a lot of bureaucracy and that is really demanding for us. But what is the good point on this is that we cooperate with the main hiking organization in the Czech Republic, Czech Tourist Club, and they are responsible for the communication with this international organization. And we are in touch with them, and I think we found a way how to promote this hike even in the Europe. There are some specifics which need to be followed and which need to be met. And fortunately, we don't have any deadlines, so it's fine. Because even now, everybody can start the hike, and this is something which we are working on, but in the background.
You yourself are a very experienced hiker. I know that you have traveled all around the world. What do you like about hiking here in your homeland? In what way is it different from your foreign experience? In what way is it specific?
In some way, it is easier because we have hiked in really high altitudes, like above 5,000 meters, and slept like above 4,000 meters. We hiked one of the most difficult trails, so like in Nepal. We hiked Great Divide Trail in Canada, which is like really, really demanding. So in this way, this is easier because you are in, I would say, a natural attitude for you. You can speak Czech language, which is a huge advantage. I would say it's more about exploring your nature, exploring the people, exploring the hidden villages. So there is the difference. And for me, hiking this trail was really like a vacation.
And finally, do you plan to create any other trails here in the Czech Republic, for instance, along the southern border?
That's a really good question, because the first idea was that this trail would go along the southern border. But then we switched to the northern border, and our vision was that the southern part would be nice, maybe in the future, that we will see how this first part will go on. But when we see the amazing feedback from the people nowadays and how successful this project already is, I would say that we will start with the southern part next spring. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm really looking forward to the next hiking season and to all the travelers that will join us next year.
Martin Ubel, the man behind a new nature trail in the north of the Czech Republic. And I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today on the programme. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague International. I'll speak to you again very, very soon.